Kings of Macedonia. Philip of Macedonia. Philip returns from Thebes. Philip was freed after 3 years as a hostage at Thebes, and he was probably around 17 years of age, and returned to a Macedonia that was ruled by his brother, Perdiccas. It's an important moment, although it is impossible to say how he felt, what his character was at this age, or even much about his appearance. There are very few images of Philip that survive and all depict him late in his life. His face is lined, he's missing an eye. Then in 1977, archaeologists working at Vergina, the site of ancient Age, dug into a great tumulus and concluded that one of the sealed tombs within belonged to Philip and contained his cremated remains. From this, a famous reconstruction was made of the features of this man in hopes of gaining a sense of the person who turned Macedonia into such a formidable kingdom. The identification is not certain, but the case is a good one. The tomb, Tomb 2, was one of three hidden by the tumults, and all three are likely to be royal and date from the latter part of the 4th century BCE, which narrows down the possibilities when it comes to who was interred in each one. Tomb 1 had been broken into and plundered in antiquity, and among the bones were those of a man in his 40s, who was some 6 feet high, which was unusual, but not exceptionally tall for the ancient world. These remains have not been cremated, and many believe that they were not the original occupants of the tomb. The man in Tomb 2 was also middle-aged, about 5 feet 7, 5 feet 8. He was very much average size for a Greek or a Macedonian. The initial analysis of the bones suggested a serious injury to the right eye and perhaps his leg, although a minority of those who examined the remains subsequently have disagreed. On the balance, the occupant of Tomb 2 probably is Philip II, which means that the reconstruction of his face may give a hint of his real appearance. Yet caution is needed, for much about any such reconstruction must be conjectural in the circumstances, whether it be the shape and size of the nose or the ears or the complexion or coloring. No ancient source mentions the color of Philip's hair or eyes. As an adult, he sported a thick beard, which is normal for an adult Macedonian male, and was fairly universal throughout the wider Greek world. So the 17-year-old may have already grown one. More is known about Alexander's appearance, which helps to suggest some possibilities, for the father may have resembled a son. Alexander's hair was said to be blonde or tawny, like a lion's, and several monarchs from the dynasty set up by his successors were also described as golden-haired. A mosaic from Pompeii copied in the 4th century BCE Greek original depicts Alexander with medium brown hair, although it's quite possible that the color on the mosaic did not match the original or had faded over time. The paintings from the royal tombs at Age show a wide range of hair colors, from black and dark brown through fair and even distinctly chestnut. All of this suggests that Macedonians were not of a single complexion or coloring, and that Philip's hairs and eyes could have been almost any shade. And of course, the important thing about what they found was the damaged eye, because he lost an eye in combat, which left him terribly scarred. And he also, with the bad leg, he had a spear wound through a knee, and it caused his leg to actually shrink and caused him to hobble around quite a bit. So that was really important in making those discussions. In 365 BCE, the young Philip was not yet grown to full maturity, although he was surely fit and strong for his active life and time in the gymnasium. He would not have had the marks of a hard life and a succession of injuries, so he was not yet the stern, commanding presence suggested by the reconstruction of the dead man. All in all, the young Philip remains a shadowy figure, and we can only guess his appearance, let alone his attitudes to his older brother and mother when he returned to his homeland. Eurydice is only mentioned in one more of our sources in a passage from Justin that is even more dubious than usual, and we don't know when she died. But an especially rich tomb was made for a female buried at Age in the 4th century BCE, and it has been dubbed the Tomb of Eurydice. While this is perfectly possible, as yet there is no direct evidence to associate it with her. Now, Philip had returned to his homeland and his family, and at some point he was given charge of a region by his brother. Scholars speculate that this was in the east, including the border facing the Thracians and the Greek colonies on the coast. If this is correct, then the suggestion that he was given command of some troops as well would make sense to defend royal control against possible threats. Perdiccas III had an infant son, and it is impossible to know whether Philip was the trusted brother and friend happy to serve the family interest, or seen as a potential rival to be placated and watched carefully. I'll bet less of a threat than the others waiting in the wings. The king was a devotee of Plato, and greatly honored one of the philosopher's pupils, a man named Euphrarus. He chose as dinner companions men able to discuss geometry and philosophy. Philip may well have been able to do this, but little in his later life suggests that he relished such earnest gatherings, and there are hints of squabbles between the brothers. Now, the sources for this: The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.